Amen. Praise the Lord. See many of us here in this meeting tonight, and those who are on the Zoom. I hope you all have a good week that is going through. And today we will go into names of God, which is the Word. Give me 1 second as I get my laptop ready to go. The song that we just sang, The Promises of God, and someone had mentioned that what a great encouragement to know that our future is as bright as the promises of God. And the Word of God is full of promises. Today, as we go into the names of God, which is the Word, there's a distinction between the Word, which is lowercase, and the lowercase word, which happens many times in the scripture. Now you see that the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, Moses. You see the word of the Lord came to Samuel, went to Solomon, Elijah, Jeremiah. There are many, many verses that you can think of that the word of the Lord came unto these people. But that's a different distinction than compared to the word, which is uppercase P and uppercase W. Now, this is different than the other instances in the Bible where we see the word. And the word is the most meaningful name in all of Scripture. And if you go into the book of Genesis, we see that in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. And the word was there. Then we see primarily in John chapter 1, which is where we will focus eventually. But this is where Apostle John has written about the word that has been there from the beginning. And then when we go into the book of Revelation, we see in the end of chapter 22, we see, surely I will come quickly. So here again is a word that has been spelled out. So if you look from Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning of God's creation, where he spoke the word, he spoke into the darkness and created the light. And that's what we see. So the word was given out. And then in the book of Revelation, we see the great promise that I will come quickly. So what a interesting analogy that in the beginning we have the word, and then in the end we also have the word. Now, the entire Bible is the story of God's relationship with mankind. But from the beginning, where we see the creation, to the reference of come quickly, O Lord, that is in Revelation, we see how the entire Bible is full of God's promises. And then from beginning, and when he speaks the light coming out of darkness into the promise where he gives at the end of Revelation chapter 22. So here we see Jesus is the fulfillment of the words of prophecy written in the Old Testament. We see that if you seek him in the word, that is the Bible, you will find that he is the true one, the truthful one. When you look into the word, which in Greek is logos, which is translated as either speech or word or principle or thought or utterance, or it could be just a spoken word or a written word. But that word actually refers to the universal reason or the mind of God. What is God intending to relate to human or mankind? That's what we see. So primarily in the book of John, chapter 1, we see Apostle John is one who uses that word vastly. You see that in John, chapter 1. You see that in 1 John, chapter 1. And then we also see an instance in Revelation, which will come into that. So if you turn to John, chapter 1, we see in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here we see, as you read this chapter, you see that John is saying you have been hearing about the word for centuries, and now I'm telling you who the word is. That is what he is conveying in this chapter. So here we see, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And we will come, the name Christ is not mentioned until verse 17. But until then, he is bringing up this truth about who the word is. So here we see, if you look at John chapter 1, and we'll read from verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made for him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And coming down to verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John puts it very clearly, in a very beautiful way, who the word is, what the word actually means. So Jesus Christ is the eternal word, and he is of God. So if you look at John chapter 1 and verse 1, the word is eternal, because in the beginning was the word. So from eternity, the word existed. And then coming down to verse 14, we see that the word became flesh. So in between, we see a whole lot of truth. So the eternality of the word and the word becoming flesh, or the incarnation of the word. So these are the two things that we see from the beginning to the end. The eternality of the word to the incarnation of the word. So in this passage, we see a multiple things. Number one, we see the deity of Christ, and that we see in the beginning that he was eternal. He was with God. He is God. And the word was from the beginning. So here we see the deity of Christ. And then secondly, we see the pre-incarnate word of Christ. We see that all things were made through the word. And the word is the creator. Without the word, nothing was made. In him, or in the word, was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and Logos is giver of life. And then we see that John is saying that the word is the light, and then John, that is John the Baptist, he came as a witness to the light. But the true light gives light to all. So here we see the pre-incarnate word or work of Christ. And then from verses 6 through 8, we see the forerunner of Logos. And that is John the Baptist. That he was a man sent from God to be a witness, to bear witness of the light. He was not the light, but that he was sent to bear witness of that light. So here we see in these verses the forerunner of Christ. And then from verses 9 through 11, we see the rejection of Christ. Here we see that the light was given to every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Here we see that the Logos was rejected. And then we see that in verses 12 through 13, that the acceptance of Christ. We see that as many has received him, to them he gave the life to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. What a beautiful simplicity of salvation, that to those who receive him, those who believe in him, he has given the right to become the children of God. So even though many people have rejected him, he came into the world, but the world did not receive him, But to those who received him, he gave them the right to become. So from rejection to acceptance. And then the beautiful verse of verse 14 is the incarnation of Christ. The Logos became flesh and lived among us. Beautiful picture that John is painting, that the Word remained from the beginning, and then he was the light and the life giver, but then many did not receive him. But those who received him, he gave them the right to be the children. And a beautiful picture that all this time in the Old Testament, Logos was a prophecy that Messiah is coming. Everybody knew, and they were looking forward to that. And then the beautiful verse in 14, where the Word became flesh and lived among them. And John has an amazing picture of the Word. And I like the way that he has put forward, even when you go into 1 John chapter 1, which we go into that, he has given us this beautiful illustration that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So it's a very first-hand experience that he had lived through, seeing the Lord Jesus in human flesh. So the title is a designated title to show the divine nature of Christ. So the Word is referring to Christ. Well, as the Word, he was from the beginning, and he became flesh. So let's turn to 1 John chapter 1, and we'll see another beautiful portrayal of the Word. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the Word of God. Here we see John is saying a first-hand account, the experience that he had, seeing Christ in human form, the Word eternal. Here we see that from the beginning which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Beautiful experience of Apostle John, that he puts forward in a pictorial way, in a beautiful way, who the Word is. That the Lord Jesus is perfect example of God speaking in a language where man can understand. So the name itself is emphasizing the role of Christ as being the communication of God to humanity. So God is revealing the truth about God's nature, will, and plan for humanity through the Lord Jesus Christ. But through this eternal Word, the Heavenly Father is portraying what he intends for mankind. So the word is a unique, significant one in the New Testament. Because this conveys the meaning and revealing the truth. Just like that, the Lord Jesus is also revealing the truth about God's nature, will, and plan for humanity. So he is the perfect representation of God to humanity, showing us what God is like and how we can have a relationship with him. So just like we read in 1 John chapter 1 and also John chapter 1, that he is portraying that we can have a relationship with this Word of God, that we can have a relationship with Christ. So also let's turn to Revelation chapter 19. Verses 11 to 16. Again, this is from Apostle John. It's interesting to note that Apostle John is the one who's using the Word being mentioned throughout his books. Here we see, this is regarding the second coming of Christ. Now I saw heaven open, behold the white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had the name written that no one knew it except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nation. and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Coming back to verse 13, his name is called the Word of God. We see the picture of the second coming of Christ. And the Lord Jesus is called the Word of God. This is in regard to his second coming and his majestic return to rule the earth as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. So the deity of Christ, as we were talking earlier, that he came, he is an eternal God, and this eternality God is the one that is living among us. He has reincarnated, lived among us. So the word is inspiring awe and wonder in believers as we contemplate the vastness and greatness of Jesus Christ. It reminds us of his role as the perfect communication of God to humanity and calls us to respond in faith and obedience to his message. It also offers us hope and assurance that we can know God and his will for our lives through a relationship with Jesus Christ, Word becoming flesh. So a great theologian by the name Samuel D. Gordon has said like this, Jesus is God spelling out in a language man can understand. In other words, Jesus is God's one-man rescue mission for the lost humankind. A beautiful sentence that the Lord Jesus is God spelling out in a language that man can understand. But what a beautiful picture as we read these passages, to know that the eternal God is displayed and reflected through the Word, and then the Word dwelt among us, and we have experienced him, just like the Apostle John said, that we have experienced him. What a beautiful thing to know that when we know Christ, that we would know the will of God and his purpose through the Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, we have come to know the Word, and he has become our salvation. We were just singing about the promises of God, that the Word of God is such a powerful assurance for each one of us. I wanted to close with just a hymn, not to sing, but just to kind of go through the words of a hymn. That is hymn number 127, the Black Hymnal. It really summarizes what I've been sharing. This hymn kind of came into my mind. It's, the words go like this. 127, Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifestly seen and heard, in heaven's beloved one. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou, that every knee to thee should bow. Then we see here, in thee most perfectly expressed, the farthest glory shine, of the full deity possessed, eternally divine. True image of the infinite, whose essence is concealed, brightness of uncreated light, the heart of God revealed. But the high mysteries of his name, the creature's grasp transcend. The Father's only glorious claim, the Son can comprehend. Yet loving thee, on whom his love ineffable does rest, thy members all in thee above, as one with thee are blessed. Throughout the universe of bliss, the center thou and Son, eternal theme of praise is this to heaven's beloved one. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou, that every knee to thee should bow. What a blessedness to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, has come into our heart. And today we can enjoy his presence. We can know God's purpose and his truth. And we can also have the hope of eternity. As we were reminded from Revelation, he's coming back as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And to those who haven't accepted him, this is going to be a terrible day. Thank God for each one of us. We can look forward to that day of hope with gladness, with rejoicing that this Word who dwelt among men is coming back as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords. So we thank God, with the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your kindness, your wonder, in our lives. We thank you for these words that reminds us of who Christ, that he came, the one who was with God from the beginning, the eternal God, the eternal Word, who came down in flesh and dwelt among us, as we were reminded from the writings of Apostle John, to know that we can experience the same Word as Apostle John had mentioned. What a great privilege, Lord, that we have to know you in our lives, to experience you from days past, to know that you are the great God who came seeking mankind. Know that we have this great salvation, those who have received him, that you're given the right to become the children of God. What a tremendous gift that you've given us. Know that the Word of God, displaying from Genesis to Revelation, talks about the coming of the Lord. And we thank you that the Word has come. And we thank you that we could receive the Word. And we thank you that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we could know the will of God. And we thank you for your wonderful love, for your salvation. We give you all glory and honor in Jesus' precious name. Amen.